In 2025, Americans lost more than $21 billion to fraud and identity theft. That's why so many people are turning to Aura. Aura helps protect your identity with fraud alerts, dark web monitoring, and up to $5 million in identity theft protection. And if you become a victim, Aura's 24/7 U.S.-based support team is there to help. Don't wait until your identity is stolen. Start your free trial today at aura.com/safe. That's aura.com/safe.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. What an honor to have you with us today. Man, we have a lot of ground to cover and not a lot of time. I, honest to goodness, I need about four hours of radio airtime today to get through what all we're gonna talk about. I want you to write down our telephone number. You're going to need this if you plan on calling in today. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. Again, that number, 901-260-5926. And we're going to be getting to your calls in just a little while. So, again, a lot happening, ladies and gentlemen. And the starting point today, believe it or not, is Amazon. We have an issue with the Golden Age. So the new book came out, a couple of weeks ago. And Dylan, everywhere we've been, we have gotten great reviews. People love this book. They're having a great time with the book. But here's the problem. You've got a bunch of leftists that are going on Amazon and they're leaving these negative reviews.
Boo.
It's ridiculous. Boo to them. So the problem is when you get the negative reviews, it actually impacts your book's ranking on Amazon. So here's what we need you to do. We need all of you folks to head over to Amazon. Stop what you are doing. Head over to Amazon and leave us a 5-star rating for The Golden Age. And Dylan, I better see your name over there. And it's a 5-star review.
Refresh in like 5 minutes.
The staff is required to leave a 5-star review. It's in your contracts. So anyway, The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. And we have been dealing with some of the negative Nancys out there. And we're not going to let these leftists impact The Golden Age. By the way, had a wonderful conversation yesterday with our friends at KARN in Little Rock, Arkansas. This morning, KKOB in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and our good buddy Michael Wilson from Patriot Talk 920. Dylan, I don't think the audience understands. We are literally working around the clock to promote this book.
You're working very hard.
I need a vacation.
Yeah, I don't think you've slept.
No, and when I do sleep, I keep waking up thinking I have missed one of the interviews.
That's terrible.
So it's awful. Want to thank David Harris Jr. from over at Newsmax. We had a great conversation. I was on with him for about 10 minutes last night, and we talked about a lot of issues regarding the Golden Age. All right, I want to start, though, ladies and gentlemen, with something that needs to be discussed, and this is a big deal. Because we're getting very close to the midterm elections now, and I do believe that we need to have a conversation about where things are with the Republican Party. I'm just curious here, ladies and gentlemen, are you pleased with what the Republican Party has been doing over the past 2 years? Is this going to impact whether or not you get out and vote? Now, I know our audience, you guys are not going to be voting for the Democrats, but some of you may just end up staying at home. And I will say that one of the big problems here is that, and guys, if we could, we'll probably hop over and we'll probably have to cut to an early break, but we've got to do something about the audio here. We're dealing with a little tech issue, ladies and gentlemen, so bear with us. But one of the big issues facing the country right now is the do-nothing Congress. These folks have done absolutely nothing, and they cannot campaign on anything. They just simply cannot do that. That's a big problem, in my estimation, because the only thing that the Republicans have done is pass the big, beautiful bill, and that's it. They have not been able to achieve victory on any of the president's accomplishments at all. At all. So therefore, when they're out campaigning, they can't just go up to, let's say we've got a guy named Charles who calls in from WSIC land over in North Carolina, and Charles is really frustrated with the Republican Party. So he's and he's rightfully so. All of you folks have very valid arguments about your concerns with the Republican Party, every single one of you. And I will not dispute those concerns. But what I can tell you is this. I can tell you that the Republicans can't go to Charles in Statesville, North Carolina, and say, Charles, we need you. We need your vote because we need the majority, and we need the majority so we can pass President Trump's agenda. Because Charles is a smart guy. The lovely Miss Patty over there in Statesville, she gets it too. And you're going to look at those candidates and say, well, wait a second. We gave you the majority for the past 2 years. What have you done with it? Why have you squandered these opportunities? It's a great question. Now you've got the administration out there, and they're telling everybody, look, you know, it's your patriotic duty to basically suck it up and enjoy these high gas prices. All right, wait, what? That sounds like something the previous administration would say. You've got folks in the administration saying, you know what, we're gonna bring in this foreign beef to get the prices down, so you don't have to pay over $6 for a pound of ground beef at the grocery store. All the every single cattle rancher in America is going, wait, what? That's insane. So all of these things are happening, the affordability issues, and the administration is telling American young people basically to suck it up. And if you want to buy a house, you may have to get two or three jobs to make that happen. When that did not happen, when you and I were getting ready to buy a house, that did not happen when our grandparents were getting ready to buy a house. As a matter of fact, I was reading this story. Where was this? It was on Instagram. I get in some of the most weird algorithms on Instagram. But one of these big things that went viral is some guy who worked at Sears for his entire career. And this guy was able to have a very nice life working at Sears. And I'm pulling this up so I can share this with you. But the guy worked at Sears back in the 1990s. And now a lot of people are saying, what happened? What happened? Well, first of all, Sears is what? Not even a bit. Are there any Sears left? Any Sears left at all in America? But again, it was a viral post because Sears had all these full-time retail employees. They could afford to buy a house. They could afford to raise their families. They could take a vacation every year. They could go down to the Redneck Riviera, also known as the Gulf of America. And they even were able to get this, retire with a pension. What happened to those days? What happened to that version of America, ladies and gentlemen? And it's a great question. The guy's name is Mike Callahan. And I don't even know, I mean, I'm assuming this guy is the real deal. But he wrote about the guy running appliances. The guy had three kids, coached Little League, retired after 32 years at Sears with a pension. The woman in customer service bought her first house on a full-time retail salary. The older man in hardware who took the same vacation to the Ozarks every summer because he could actually afford to switch off for a week, and nobody thought they were just what? Stuck in retail. This was a career, and it was honest work. It was hard work, and it paid enough money for the American workers at Sears to live with dignity. As a matter of fact, they even gave the employees Christmas bonuses that actually meant something. And guess what happened? The stores were packed with people shopping. But those days are gone. And, it's interesting, the reaction to this man's story. You've got a lot of young people now in America, and they're saying, why can't we have that kind of life? What happened? What went wrong to where now many, many young people are not going to be able to afford a house? As a matter of fact, for the first time in American history, a record number of young people are not able to buy their first home, their starter home. And again, the Trump administration, instead of being sympathetic to this, their argument is, suck it up, buttercup. And I don't think that's the right message here, ladies and gentlemen. And that brings me to this event that we may or may not be going to. And let me just say that, Dylan, we were looking at broadcasting our show from the Republican midterm convention. They're holding it in Dallas, Texas, and it's a two-day event. We were looking at some of the pricing just for the reporters, you know, to be able to have a reporting space. It was upwards of, I think the starting point was around $20,000 or $25,000.
Yikes.
And if you wanted the big suites like the networks have, you're looking at $100,000 and $150,000. It's insane the amount of money that it's costing. So there's more to this. Mediaite has a story. The headline is GOP midterm convention deemed blank show as Republicans balk at the pricey tickets. So now apparently, by the way, we asked for the itinerary, like, okay, what's the schedule look like? Because again, we want to, you know, if we're going to go to Dallas and do our show from Dallas, we want to be able to have access to, you know, people on the platform, people speaking and all that kind of stuff. They don't have the program together. The thing is coming up in just a couple of weeks, September 9th and 10th. And by the way, the optics of all of this are just way off, and I'll get to that in just a moment. But again, the president is touting this as like a big midterm party. But the problem is you've got to pay. So these lawmakers, the National Republican Congressional Committee, the NRCC, they're charging members $25,000 to attend, up to $100,000. So if you want the cheap seats there in Dallas, $25,000. You want like a really good seat, $100,000. And people are like, what is going on here? Reading from Mediaite, Republicans are worried about the optics with the convention scheduled for just 2 days before the 25th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks. Also, it is the one year anniversary of the assassination of Charlie Kirk. So they're saying this is imperfect timing for lawmakers to be photographed carousing in elephant hats with the party's wealthy elite while Americans remember the 9/11 terrorist attacks. One Republican campaign consultant told Puck News the convention has become a blank show with few elected officials wanting to pay for the exorbitant ticket prices and having calendar conflicts because invites were sent out so late. There is also grumbling behind the scenes that this is little more than a fundraiser for an unnecessary Trump production. Quote, nobody understands what we're doing and why we're doing a midterm convention, yet another opportunity to shake down corporate America. Reuters also reporting and quoting their sources that Republican consultants have dismissed it as a distraction as the campaigns enter the final stretch. And they question the need for a national gathering with no official party business. And again, it's a fair concern. I mean, you got the kids in school, kids in college, a lot of stuff going down. And a lot of folks are just trying to, they're like, what is going on here? But ladies and gentlemen, the biggest problem the Republicans have, they got no message. They've got no message because the midterm elections, not about Donald Trump. The midterm elections are about this do-nothing Congress, and a lot of people, a lot of you folks, are fired up about that. All right, we've got to take a break. 901-260-5926. Our telephone number, that's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
The flood of people, at least 10 million illegals, have poured into this country.
Has the American dream disappeared, or is it waiting to be rebuilt? This weekend, the America 250 film series presents Return of Our American Dream. Hear the stories that confront decline, restore hope, and call Americans back to opportunity, work, family, and freedom. Saturday and Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern on Salem News Channel.
All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Let's go to the phone lines, 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. Say hello to Scott in Athens, Georgia. Scott, what's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. He was talking about the Republican Party and the economy and everything. I just feel like we're not getting a golden age. We're getting a golden shower. Is that the country is in $40 trillion in debt, and in 5 years it'll be $50 trillion. And Trump is just, he's been a failure. He's not bringing American, he's not rebuilding American industry in the United States. He's bringing in this foreign industry. And he's just not doing anything as far as is trying to, you know, even with trade. I mean, we still got our textile industry, our garment industry, and most of our industry is still overseas. And you wonder why Sears, we don't have companies like Sears anymore. Because all these companies have been dissipated. I mean, they just, because of all these trade deals. And it's just, Trump just has not done anything.
Well, now, a lot of folks would disagree with you there because we are watching manufacturing jobs coming back to the United States. It may not be at the levels you expect, but we have certainly seen an economic revival as far as the manufacturing jobs coming back from overseas. Can you give me an example of one thing, just one thing? Because you're saying, you're telling the White House, don't pee on my leg and tell me it's raining. So give me an example, a specific example of what you're talking about.
Well, I've told you this before, is the textile and garment industry. It's like in the South. The textile industry made up 50% of the industry in the United States, and the garment industry. I mean, we don't have any clothing or anything as garments or textiles are not being made in the South anymore. It's all being made in India. It's all being made over in China. It's all being made over in Vietnam. It's everywhere. You look at your clothes and look at the tags. It's the same thing. It's Vietnam, India,
yeah.
Indonesia, South America. I mean, it's just, I mean, that's
so look, Scott, no, I hear what you're saying, Scott. And to that point, you are correct. I mean, when it comes specifically to the large-scale textile and apparel industry, those jobs have not come back to the United States. And I think, honestly, a lot of that has to do with the American consumers who do not want to pay big money for their blue jeans and their T-shirts and a lot of this apparel that's out there. So a lot of that has to be – a lot of the blame has to be placed on the American consumers who aren't going out there and willing to pay a higher price for a product that's made right here in the good old U.S. of A. Scott, we're going to have to leave it there. But again – overall, when you look at manufacturing jobs, especially in pharmaceuticals, those jobs are coming back to America. Regardless, ladies and gentlemen, how do you grade the Republican Party? Going in the midterms, how do you grade the job they have done over the past 2 years? 901-260-5926, our number on the screen for those of you watching, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern. You know, they tell you the only way to retire with enough money is to put your life savings into a 401k or IRA and just roll the dice on Wall Street. But what if there's a better way? It's time to get the truth and discover a better way to grow and protect your money. Bank on Yourself is the proven retirement plan alternative banks in Wall Street desperately hope you never hear about. It gives you guaranteed predictable growth and retirement income, tax-free retirement income, and more control over your money. You'll know the minimum guaranteed value of your retirement savings at every point along the way, and you can access your money before age 59 and a half without government penalties. You can get a free report that reveals how you can bank on yourself and access your money income tax-free in retirement, enjoy guaranteed growth, and have more control over your money. A Bank on Yourself professional can answer any of your questions. Just go to bankonyourself.com/Starnes and take back control of your financial future. That's bankonyourself.com/Starnes. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Great to have you with us today. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. A crazy story out of Washington State, and we have this up on our website, toddstearns.com. I'd encourage you to go and check that out. A school district there in Washington State, this would be North Hill Elementary School and the Highline Public Schools. They are facing a federal lawsuit, and the reason why is that school leaders stopped a young Christian girl and searched her backpack. Now, many of you may be thinking, okay, what did the Christian girl have in her backpack? Was she dealing drugs? Was there some sort of, I don't know, a gun or maybe some sort of an IED? No, ladies and gentlemen. It turns out that this girl had a Bible and gospel tracts in her backpack. And the American Center for Law and Justice, now representing the family, they say that the school administrators confiscated that girl's Bible as well as the gospel tracts. They're alleging that she was sharing the gospel with her classmates, and that was against school policy. Now, the American Center for Law and Justice, they sent us a statement here, which you can read on toddstearns.com. It is abundantly clear that school officials must be able to affirmatively establish they have a substantial reason to interfere with a student's First Amendment rights, and stating that because it is upsetting parents as the reason does not meet the constitutional threshold. So apparently a couple of moms and dads complained that this little girl was sharing the gospel with their children. Now, this student was pulled from class again because she was accused of distributing gospel tracts during lunchtime. The lawsuit alleges that a vice president, or vice principal rather, told the child that students are not allowed to share their opinions at school that include religious beliefs. So, you know, if you want to talk about Kamala Harris or you want to talk about the San Francisco 49ers owner who hired that lady down at the trailer park, yeah, that's okay. Yeah, you can do that. But you can't talk about Jesus at the school there in Washington State. Students also, according to the lawsuit, were required to attend a huge event called Inclusion Assembly. The ACLJ says their client became visibly upset when the presentation addressed subjects that conflicted with her Christian beliefs. She quietly asked to leave and explain why, but the teacher responded, "They are not forcing their belief on you, but they are informing you about this." The girl again objected, and the teacher told the child, "You have no choice." So the little girl, according to the lawsuit, sat in the gym and she cried. So, ladies and gentlemen, again, Christianity under attack in America. The idea that you could have a public school stopping a child, searching her backpack, and if there was a Bible inside, she's treated like she's, I don't know, some sort of a criminal. But this is where we are in America. Yesterday on the program, by the way, and we've got this story up at toddstearns.com as well, a school displayed images of Jesus Christ with a slit throat. They also displaced images of a Bible being burned. and the words, God is dead. All of this was defended by the school district, and they said this kind of thing was artwork, and therefore the kids were not going to be able to take down the offensive images. They kept it all up. So, again, this is part of another lawsuit, and you can read that story at toddstearns.com. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. I want to play some audio here. This is from Fox News Channel. This is bizarre. So Tiffany Smiley, and she's the latest darling in the Fox News world, and Tiffany Smiley was posting sympathies and sympathizing with Lindsey Clancy. Now, we've been talking about this case for several days now. This is the Massachusetts mom who slaughtered her three young children, strangled them with her bare hands. She used exercise ropes, and she strangled the young children. And then she hurled herself off of the back of the house, and as a result is paralyzed. So anyway, she's on trial. They're not the whole thing is they're saying she suffered some sort of a psychotic break. And the argument we heard from our good friend Wendy Patrick, who is a trial attorney, she said this makes no sense. Because when you're suffering a psychotic break, you don't methodically plan out what you are going to do. And this woman clearly planned out what she was going to do, even going so far as to send her husband out of the house so he could run an errand. This is insane. So now you have hundreds of women, and it could be even thousands of women now around the nation who are defending Lindsey Clancy. They're saying that they, too, could have possibly killed their children. And again, imagine being, just imagine you're a 7-year-old kid and you're watching the evening news and all of a sudden you see mommy up there saying, yeah, you know what, there's some days I want to kill my kids. Could you imagine? I'd be locking the door. I'd be putting Mr. Potato Head outside to guard me, for crying out loud. So anyway, Tiffany Smiley, the darling of Fox News, here's what she had to say about Lindsey Clancy.
So when I first started, you know, paying attention and looking into this case, it actually broke my heart for everyone involved in this. And I hate that it takes something like this to have a real conversation about women's mental health and postpartum depression, because it is a real thing. But a lot of times it is swept under the rug. Women have a lot of shame that surrounds it. People don't know how to support. And honestly, our medical healthcare system has failed women in a lot of ways. I worked as a triage nurse in an OBGYN clinic, one of the busiest ones in the city of Spokane, Washington. And people would be shocked if you knew the calls that I got, the women that came in. There is a reason that there is a safe place that a lot of hospitals have where women can come bring their baby to keep it safe and keep it alive if they are feeling any of these feelings. It's a real thing, and it happens probably more than people even realize. I am a mom of three boys. If you have some of these postpartum symptoms, they can tend to get worse with each child as well. So you have to be your own advocate. You have to be proactive. And if you do not have people in your life that understand that or know how to get you the help that you need, this stuff is real. And we need to address it in this country. A lot of times women are given the baby and they're shoved out of the hospital and said, good luck, you know?
All right, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Tiffany Smiley saying that she has sympathy for Lindsey Clancy. What about you, ladies and gentlemen? Do you have sympathy for Lindsey Clancy? You know, I have sympathy. I have sympathy for her three young children who were slaughtered at the hands of their mother. That's who I have sympathy for. I have sympathy for her husband, her now ex-husband, who now has to live with this for the rest of his entire life. That's who I have sympathy for. I got no sympathy for Lindsey Clancy. None whatsoever. This woman killed her children. End of story. That's it. But now you have people out there, a shocking number of people. And by the way, these are the same people that were defending the Sarnieff brothers when they blew up the Boston Marathon. Luigi Mangione, when he took out the healthcare executive. These are Carmelo Anthony, for goodness sakes. So there is a very disturbing trend happening in this country where you've got individuals who are out there defending these heinous killers. and this idea that the killers are, in fact, the victims. I heard one argument yesterday that actually placed the blame on Lindsay Clancy's husband, and they say that he should have done more to help her out. Therefore, she would not have killed the children if her husband had just been more attentive. It's insanity, ladies and gentlemen. All right, we've got to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. During the break, head over to Amazon, ladies and gentlemen. Be sure to leave us a review. We need your help to push back against these leftists that are out there attacking the Golden Age. And also, if you haven't got yourself a copy, get a copy of the Golden Age. Now, again, a reminder, this is not some sort of a dull, boring policy book. This is a knee-slapping page-turner. You're going to get a lot of laughs. You're going to have a lot of fun as we celebrate the great things God is doing for America. Hang tight. We'll be right back. All right. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Great to have you guys with us, and thank you for watching us as well on our many digital platforms, including Real Life Network. So we appreciate all of the great work our team is doing there. By the way, coming up in the next hour, Josh Jones is going to drop by, the official chief political strategist for our show. Josh is going to give us the latest update on what's happening in South Carolina. Big election going down today between Darlene Graham, who is now beginning to, I think people are beginning to understand exactly who this woman is. She is not a conservative. She is not a pro-lifer. Ralph Norman, her opponent. And we will see if, in fact, the people of South Carolina rise up and realize they've been snookered. So we'll keep you updated on that. We'll be talking to Josh in just a little while. All right, let's go to our phone lines, 901-260-5926. Say hello to Clyde in Texas, listening to us on Patriot Talk 920. Hi, Clyde, what's on your mind?
Hey, Todd, nice to talk to you. Hey, no, you're talking about this lady killed her three kids. And do I feel sorry for her? No. No more than I felt sorry for Andrea Yates when she killed her five kids, chased them around the house and drowned them in her bathtub. And they turned around and blamed her husband for the exact same thing.
Clyde, what do you make of all of these women out there standing outside the courthouse? They're wearing the pink T-shirts, and they feel like she is the victim here and not her dead children.
No, I mean, these people, I don't know what's wrong with America nowadays. I mean, people don't want to take credit for their actions. I mean, you did it, take credit for it. And America, you know, like the scriptures say, they call evil good and good evil, bitter for sweet, sweet for bitter. They need to wake up and realize evil is evil. That's all there is to it.
Clyde, it really is that simple, isn't it? And there is a lot of evil that has been unleashed on this nation. Clyde, thank you for that call. And we sure did have a lot of fun talking to Michael Wilson earlier today on his great morning show, The Lone Star Conservative, there in Houston. All right, let's go to Ely, Nevada, K-E-L-Y. Lucky is on the line. What's on your mind?
Well, I had children, and after I had children, I felt that depression that you get at times, and there was times in which I felt crying. I couldn't take it one more, but I walked away. I let the baby cry for a little while, and then I had to take a deep breath because I love the children, and came back, and then, you know, I understand that she may have gone through something, but there are people out here that want children. So why kill your child? Find somebody else that could take care of them. And not only that, usually mother-in-laws and daughter-in-laws don't get along. And the mother-in-law got up on the stand and testified that the daughter-in-law had told her that she had problems. Well, then why didn't she take the kids? I can't understand it. Why didn't she take her three grandchildren away from the woman for a while to give her a rest, to give her a chance to get back to some normal thinking? And not only that, I know that it takes a long time, I've heard at least, to strangle somebody. So you take all that time to strangle three kids and then decide to jump out the window. why didn't she just jump out the window and leave a note for her husband to take care of the kids? I have no sympathy for her.
Lucky, these are great questions you raise. And don't get me wrong here. First of all, she and she alone is responsible for killing the children. Do I think that the husband may have some, I don't know, did he not see what was going on? Should he have said something? The mother-in-law, as you said, she testified that she could see there was an issue. Well, the mother-in-law is going to have to live with that for the rest of her life. You know, as far as the pharmaceutical companies, and I understand the husband's already got a lawsuit filed against those folks. But again, if there was any criminal liability, charge people, right? Hold people accountable. But ultimately, at the end of the day, the one person who's responsible for all of this is sitting in that courtroom, and the defense does not dispute that. So for me, Lucky, it's case closed. I wish they had the death penalty in Massachusetts, because this woman really forfeited her right to live.
Yeah, she jumped out the window, so she really didn't want to live. But I can't see why didn't she kill herself before instead of killing three beautiful, beautiful children, you know. So, no, as a woman who's been through understanding, and I understand, after you have a child, there are times in which, and the more children you have, the worse it could get after having a child. The anxiety that you may get, but you work through that because, after all, you had that child. You carried it for a long time. You have love for that child. I have no sympathy for her, you know. And a lot of people who know me and are probably listening and can't believe I'm saying this, but I am. That's the way I feel.
Lucky, thank you for calling in today. We really appreciate it. And we appreciate all of our great listeners out there in Nevada. Our good buddy Wyatt Cox runs a terrific, terrific radio station out there. 901-260-5926, our number to weigh in on the stories we're talking about today. That's 901-260-5926. This story out of Palo Alto, California is bizarre. Parents there are now suing the Palo Alto School District after their kids were taken on a field trip to a local mosque. Now, the kids were encouraged to wear Islamic religious attire. They were also exposed to a message that portrayed Islam as a social justice religion. We've got the story up at toddstearns.com. So apparently, Palo Alto High School, they've been dispatching students to these mosques for years, thanks to a partnership with the Muslim Community Association. But what I find fascinating about this story, because you would originally think, right, oh, the evangelical Christians filed the lawsuit. Turns out not a single Christian actually filed the lawsuit. The parents involved are Jewish and Hindu, and they did not appreciate the fact that their little Jewish kids were being taken to a mosque and indoctrinated by, get this, the Council on American Islamic Relations. And you say, Todd, why do I know about that name? Well, last year, Florida Congressman Randy Fine, a good friend of this program, actually introduced legislation that would declare the Council on American Islamic Relations as a terrorist organization. Unbelievable. Could you imagine, just imagine for a minute, that you've got a school and you've got a bunch of Muslim kids, and it's in a predominantly, I don't know, Baptist area. Could you imagine the uproar if a school district forced a bunch of Muslim kids to go down to, let's say, well, the First Baptist Church in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, for a baptism service? All you know what would be breaking loose, ladies and gentlemen. All right, we've got to take a quick break here. Josh Jones coming up next here on the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Stearns.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. What an honor to have you with us today. Border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. Your voice of hope and truth, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to write down our telephone number. You will need this if you plan on calling in. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. And we begin this hour of the program with a little bit of breaking news.
Breaking news now on the Todd Starnes Show.
Well, it turns out that Ennis Cantor Freedom and Royce White, two of the bravest women I know, will not be allowed to play in the WNBA. This is according to sources talking to CNN and ESPN. Both Ennis Cantor Freedom and Royce White, former NBA players, and the WNBA says that NBA players, former NBA players, will not be allowed to declare or to try out for WNBA teams. So both men announced last month that they identify as women and said they plan to enter the 2027 WNBA draft. However, no transgender women have played in the WNBA. Dylan, does anybody really believe that?
I certainly don't.
Do they really believe that there are no? I mean, those are some manly-looking gals we're talking about.
Yeah, to say the least. I mean, I think they should double down on this for sure.
And there are a couple of them, and I don't mean to, you know, I don't mean to cast dispersions here, but they've been spotted. Several of the players have been spotted without any shirts on. And it seems to me that there would be, I don't know, two things that would just pop out if you spotted a female WNBA player. Dare I say, where are the boobies?
I don't know. I'm just losing it back here.
I'm just asking.
It's fair to ask, I guess.
Inquiring minds want to know. Okay, great. You call yourself, I don't know, Gladys. All right, Gladys, where are the girls? There are no girls. And that tells me there are some boys in the WNBA. I'm just saying. By the way, there is another report out. Well, let me pull this up here. We now understand the WNBA told to expect a lawsuit after they denied Royce White's eligibility. Legal counsel Matt Gaetz, not the former congressman with the Botox, but the attorney, says the WNBA should preserve all records in anticipation of litigation. So what they're now saying is that the WNBA, in denying Royce White and Ennis Cantor Freedom, they're saying that transgender people don't exist. So now they've opened up a whole can of gender-neutral worms, if you will. And we're getting word that Sophie Cunningham, and Dylan, I know you're a big sports guy. This is kind of shocking to me, but Sophie Cunningham may actually be released from her team. Why would you do that?
Yeah, I'm not sure what's going on there. I mean, are they're protesting her now?
So yes. So left-wing media and WNBA sources are now saying Sophie Cunningham might be released from her team at the end of the season. Her future is in doubt. And I'm just saying it's not because of her skills on the court. I think they don't like her politics, and they don't like the fact that all of these fans are coming out and showing their support to Sophie Cunningham. Look, at some point you just have to ask yourself, is this really worth it? I know that the NBA subsidizes. I mean, they basically give the girls a welfare check. So they're, in effect, this is a league that is funded by food stamps, EBT cards. I mean, at some point, you just have to ask yourself, is it really worth all of the trouble here? I mean, is this really a professional sporting league, or is it some sort of, I don't know, a reality TV show? That's the question. Look, I'm just asking these questions. But this is insane. Why would you get rid of some of your top players other than the fact they're white, they're heterosexual, and they're very attractive, and they look like women? I mean, I mean, again, if that's what the WNBA is all about, but they still can't tell you what the W in WNBA stands for. So anyway, we'll keep you updated on the latest breaking news there from the WNBA. By the way, here is Enes Kanter talking on Fox News, Cut 11.
That's the reason that they're scared.
Do you actually think the WNBA, and sources were telling various media outlets today that they've essentially decided you and Royce cannot play in the WNBA. You will not be eligible. And they're going to say something about the publicity. It's a publicity stunt. You're not really a trans woman. Are you a trans woman?
Well, I want to make this very clear.
Are you a trans woman?
Listen, Section 13, right? Article 13, Section 1 says if you identify as a woman, then you're allowed to play.
So you are identifying as a woman tonight?
I identify as a woman. Sure, yes.
Okay.
So I can play.
But they're never going to let you play.
Why not? I mean, that's the rule. That's the rule that they put, and I'm just following the rules. If they ever come out and say, "Okay, we are changing the rules," I respect their decision. I will, you know, follow the rules. But right now, if you identify as a woman, you're allowed to play, and I am identifying as a woman, and I should be allowed to play.
Dylan, I'm getting emotional to hear this woman, this beautiful, hairy woman, and what she's having to go through. She is who she is. Yes, she wasn't born that way, but she is who she is now. And that's all that matters, right? I mean, that's what society tells us, that we're born that way. No, wait a second. That's what the gays used to say. But now they can't say that because you're trans, and so if you're born that way, you're actually really not born that way anymore. So it's sort of like anything goes now in the sex and gender alphabet activist world. But by the way, this is how you address this absurdity. You have to address absurdity with even more absurdity. And God bless Enes Kanter Freedom. I didn't know this guy had it in him. I really didn't. But God bless him for what he's trying to do here. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Let's go to Georgia. Kim, listening to us on the great WDUN. Hi, Kim. What's on your mind today?
Hi, Todd. Thanks for taking my call. I'm listening to this and watching the news at night, and it's just gotten disgusting. These women, professional basketball players, are very talented. I think there's a lot of jealousy. I've come up with a new, some new wording for WNBA, and that's Woke Network of Battery and Abuse.
Ooh,
Go ahead.
No, I like that, Kim, but I mean, you're right. I mean, that's what's happening. They are beating the living daylights out of folks like Caitlin Clark and Sophie Cunningham.
Yes. Forget the transgender issue. Just forget that. These women are being beaten up on the court by other players, and their own coach has not come to their defense. My idea is to think outside the box and ask some of the billionaires in this country if they're willing to put up money to start a brand new different league altogether and go ahead and let Sophie leave that team. I mean, I think they'll be doing her a favor.
Yeah, well, I love it. And again, maybe it's just, I don't know, misleading the name WNBA, because clearly, you know, they're saying they've never had any transgender people playing basketball. Kim, come on. Do you really believe that?
Right. I mean, it's just disgusting. And it's just such a horrible issue, you know, when these women are so talented and there are a lot of people who would like to see them play and enjoy supporting them. I just think that we need to think outside the box and let some billionaires donate funds to start a new league.
We do need to come up with a new name for the league. And maybe, we've got a very clever audience, and maybe you guys can come up with a new name for a league made up of heterosexual women. So,
yes.
I love it. Kim, did you ever play sports in high school?
I sure did, Todd. I played. It just happened to be the toughest coach, or he had the most wins of any high school coach in Georgia's history, and he was tough.
Really?
He had coached men for many years, southeast of Atlanta, and then coached when he came to our school. This was the first time he'd coached girls or women, and he was tough.
Well, I'll tell you, in my journalism career, I covered sports, and the particular town I was in, they were known to have one of the best female basketball teams. They would always go to the state championship, and I worked in Georgia at the time, so we'd make the trips down to, if you remember this, back in the day, those state championship games, I believe, were held in Macon, Georgia.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So it was, there was some great talent out there. But again, when you look at the dangers that it poses, when you actually have men out there playing against women, Hiawassee Dam, North Carolina, one of the young girls there suffered concussions and had to undergo all sorts of medical treatment after a transgender dude, a young man on the other team, spiked the ball in her face. This is unacceptable.
Battery and abuse. No.
You're absolutely right. Kim, got to leave it there. Thank you so much for calling in, and thank you for listening to WDUN, a great, great radio station. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This segment of the Todd Stern Show brought to you by our friends at Newsmax. It's true, millions of Americans agree with President Trump, and they're switching to Newsmax. They're watching great shows with Greta, Carl Higbee, Rob Schmidt, and more. So if you're tired of big media, start watching Newsmax. It's free to start. Go to NewsmaxPlus.com for immediate access and get all of President Trump's most important events live. Once you start Newsmax Plus, you will not stop. NewsmaxPlus.com. All right, polls close at 7 o'clock tonight in South Carolina, where we are watching a very contested Republican Senate race. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show, everybody. I want to go right away to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Say hello to our good friend, former state representative there, Adam Morgan, great conservative leader. Adam, this thing has really fired up over the past 48 hours. And we're beginning to discover that not only is Darlene Graham not a conservative, quite frankly, she could be a Democrat.
Yeah. Yeah, I think if you just look at the evidence, I think she was a Democrat, or at least a liberal. I guess she wasn't really even voting, so I guess we shouldn't call her a Democrat or a Republican, but she's definitely a liberal bureaucrat. She didn't vote for the president. She didn't vote in past primaries. And then now she wants to be our senator. She went viral for pushing DEI, claimed she wanted to be the leader in implementing DEI and forcing it over the entire state agency that she ran. That clip of her masked in 2021. Who was still wearing that in 2021 other than the liberal people that were pushing all the COVID junk? And I think if people are paying attention, they know that there's a clear choice here between a conservative in Ralph Norman and a liberal in Darlene Graham. I mean, Murkowski's funding her to the tune of $10,000 from her PAC. She's got liberal billionaires pushing money in that were the head of MoveOn.org and Kamala Harris's PAC, PAC supporting her. So, I mean, this is a fight between conservatives and everything wrong with the swamp.
You know, Adam, when you look at Ralph Norman and his record is just off the charts. He's a rock-solid conservative, and yet President Trump endorsed Darlene Graham. I'm wondering, and we haven't seen the president coming out. I don't believe he's come out today and urged people to get out to vote. I wonder if the White House is now regretting the decision to endorse Darlene Graham, and I'm wondering who's giving the president all this really, really bad advice.
Yeah, whoever it is, should really be held accountable, because if anyone even did just a little bit of homework here, they'd recognize that not only is she liberal, which, I mean, that should be disqualifying. If you're a woke bureaucrat, like, we don't need you in the Senate. We can't get the SAVE Act passed right now. We don't need another Murkowski. But also the competency level here is just off the charts to have somebody that can't answer basic questions. I don't know if you missed it. Last night at her closing pitch to voters, at her final stop, a reporter asked her, you know, what are you going to do about affordability? Now, if you paid attention to the race at all, she went viral for saying, national security is not my thing. I'm not that informed about it, which, you know, everybody couldn't believe. Well, then she pivoted. Her answer was, oh, well, it's because my focus is on affordability. So at her last stop, they asked her, well, what are you going to do specifically about affordability since you've made it your banner campaign issue? She stumbled over her words and said, well, we'll figure out once I get there.
Adam, this you can't make this stuff up. And again, yeah. we've got too much at stake here. We cannot have more Lisa Murkowski's or Susan Collins in the Senate. We need someone who's going to be a rock solid conservative. Are you concerned? I just got back from Dallas, Texas. I was talking to some folks that are very prominent in that state when it comes to Republican politics. They tell me they are getting concerned about the midterm elections.
Yeah, I think a lot of us are feeling that. I'm still bullish for South Carolina, although part of what would motivate voters, I hope, in this election is Ralph Norman. Everything's been thrown against Ralph Norman for, you know, 4, 8, 16 years as he's done various things in politics and been a strong conservative. We've heard all the attacks. We've seen the gaffes, and he doesn't really have any gaffes. Meanwhile, Darlene has gone viral 4 times in the last 8 days with massive gaffes that they've been able to make fun of on Jimmy Fallon and all these places. She could potentially put this seat at threat for a Democrat swing, which would be, I mean, a huge loss. This should not be a race that's in play. But the Democrats broke the record a couple years ago against Lindsey Graham when they got behind Jamie Harrison. They broke the record for the amount of money they spent in a Senate race. And so I'm assuming the same thing's going to happen, and she has given them the clips to push on TV. Yet another reason for Republicans that are strategic thinkers that want to keep control of the Senate, which you all should, to get out and vote for Ralph Norman.
I've got about 20 seconds here. What are you hearing about voter turnout, and what's your prediction for tonight?
It's looking great. The upstate is really enthusiastic. That's where the largest share of voters comes from, the informed conservative voters. The coast is where her support it comes from a lot. And that those voters, especially in Horry, which is Myrtle Beach, where the rally was, that seems to be a little down, which that's a good sign for Norman. And then I just heard that Charleston is actually up a little bit, and that is a wild card. We really don't know how those voters are going to break because they were a Sanford stronghold in the first go-around. He dropped out, or he didn't make it, and he has endorsed Ralph. So do those voters convert enough to Ralph? Do they somehow swing Graham? So it'll be a nail-biter. The polls have them in a statistical tie.
All right, Adam, we're going to have to leave it there, my friend. Thank you for that update. Boots on the ground, Adam Morgan in South Carolina. Coming up, we're going to be talking to Josh Jones, our chief political strategist. He'll give us a rundown, his take on South Carolina. Also, the midterms nationwide as we begin the big hard push towards November. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. ToddStearns.com, that is your landing page for all things about us. You'll be able to download our free newsletter, also our free podcast, and you'll be able to get access to all sorts of great original content as well. Welcome back. Great to have you with us. Dylan, I think I figured it out. You know, we've been trying to come up with another alternative female basketball league, and I want to bring Josh Jones, our chief political strategist, into this. Josh, you know the WNBA in the throes of controversy. I know you're a huge fan.
And, right, right.
and so guys, I think I've been working during the commercial breaks coming up with the new league name. Dylan, I think you're going to like this.
I'm ready.
Babes.
Wow.
That's what we're going to call
Babes?
It. Babes.
Okay.
That's it. This would be the Basketball Association of Beautiful Elite Sisters.
Sisters.
Yeah, that's Sistas.
No R in there at all.
Sistas. Yeah.
Got it. Sis. Oh, yes. This Sistas. Is brilliant, Todd.
You like that?
I like it a lot.
I
actually
think it has a good ring to it. Now, we have a brilliant audience, so there may be others out there who might have ideas, but the Basketball Association of Beautiful Elite Sistas, also known as Babes, I think that's going to lead the charge here. What do you think, Josh Jones?
Look, I think it's more marketable than the WNBA.
Well, exactly. By the way, I was over yesterday. We were talking about my trip to Dallas, and I know you've been on vacation yourself. You went down in Puerto Rico. Do they have a Buc-ee's in Puerto Rico?
No, I did not see a Buc-ee's in Puerto Rico.
I was just wondering. I don't know if even the Puerto Ricans would understand what a beaver nugget is. But I had to stop in Arkansas at the new Buc-ee's in Little Rock, and it was like 5,000 people. Josh Jones, I have never seen such a mob of people fighting over beaver nuggets.
I know, but Buc-ee's, look, great institution, but it is a crazy house in there whenever you go into one of them.
It's sort of like, I've been trying to figure this out, and Dylan, you can weigh in here. It's almost like Family Dollar Store with brisket.
I would upgrade it from Family Dollar Store to maybe, I don't know, like a small Kroger's with brisket.
Or a Walmart after hours.
Okay, Walmart when you went, honestly. That sounded bad.
So, because, again, Josh, did you grow up in a town that had a Walmart that was a 24/7 Walmart?
So the closest Walmart was like a 40-minute drive from the house.
Oh, wow.
I can't remember. I know, it wasn't that close. But I can't remember if it was 24 hours or not. I don't think it was.
So if you've ever been to Walmart after hours, that's kind of like what Buc-ee's is. So it's a specific clientele. And I'm not. It's not an insult. I'm not complaining about it. I'm just saying it's a little different. That's all. Josh Jones, great to have you with us today. We just talked to Adam Morgan out of South Carolina, who was giving us the lowdown there. Man, this is the craziest race. And I know Trump came out and endorsed Darlene Graham, held a big rally for her, but she could end up losing this election today.
Yeah, look, I think what happens in North Carolina today, regardless of what the final result is, the fact that we're talking about this being a potential toss-up of who's going to be the nominee, I think that's evidence that a last name doesn't give you a right to a political position. Look, we'll see who comes out on top tonight. Like you mentioned, President Trump's thrown his weight behind Darlene Graham. We'll see if that carries her across the finish line or not, but she's had a couple blunders on the campaign trail, not to say they're fatal campaign blunders. But it's made it more competitive for sure.
I don't know. I don't know about that, Josh. I mean, the debate where she says she didn't know anything about national security. She got upset out on the campaign trail. Somebody was filming her, and she got really upset about that. Said that we would basically have to elect her to figure out what her positions were on some of these issues. I'm just wondering, I mean, you work with candidates to get them elected. What happened to Darlene Graham here? This is insane.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's definitely been some steps, to put it lightly, along the campaign trail. And the reality is, look, politics, especially for a U.S. Senate seat, is not a typically entry-level position. It's the sort of thing where, maybe you've been a business leader and you've been an executive in that sort of role and you kind of know how to deal with the media and that sort of thing, or you've been a community leader, or you were a local elected official that moved up the political ranks, so to speak. So I think, look, this is a little bit of political lack of knowledge, for lack of better words, of how to properly run a race. And to your point, it affects the voters too, because voters have a right to know your position on various issues. When you're a public official and you're running for office, you also sacrifice a little bit of that privacy. Like, people are going to record you. That's just how it goes. So it's just a little worrying that a potential U.S. senator isn't ready to take the mantle like some might have expected.
Josh, I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this this midterm, what the RNC's midterm convention that's going to be held in Dallas in just a couple of weeks. And it's getting some blowback from a lot of folks who are balking at the price tag. They don't understand what the point of it all is. The headline from Mediaite: GOP midterm convention deemed blank show as Republicans balk at the pricey tickets. We're hearing upwards of what the cheap tickets for Congress folk, $25,000 up to $100,000. What are you hearing?
Yeah, I mean, the pricing, from what I've heard, is around there for members of Congress. as, you know, $25K for a ticket and a plus one, and then you know, the higher packages being $100K. Again, that's for members of Congress, not necessarily other folks. So yeah, I look, I'm not, you know, on the RNC planning committee here when it comes to this convention. I will say this is the first time Republicans have done this. This is the first time we're holding a midterm convention. So look, I hope they're doing it right. I hope it goes well. I'll likely be on the ground for it, so fingers crossed that it goes well, for my sake at least. But yeah, there's definitely some discontent amongst the Republican ecosystem. Maybe it's justified, maybe it's not. I, you know, don't have any hard numbers or, you know, insider knowledge that I've been privy to. So I guess we'll see here in a couple weeks.
Josh, I was sharing this with Adam Morgan in the last segment. I was in Dallas, and I was speaking to a lot of very prominent conservatives. These are pro-Trump conservatives, and they are genuinely concerned that Kim Paxton may not be able to pull off the victory here. I'm shocked. I was shocked, honestly shocked, to hear about their concerns. But I am wondering, I mean, you've got your ear to the ground nationwide. What are you hearing when it comes to the midterm elections?
Look, a lot of voters are disaffected. They feel like, you know, Washington isn't working for them. So voters want change. And the change, you know, in this election would be voting either not for the Republicans or for another, you know, for the Democrats or for another candidate. Because, look, Republicans control D.C. right now, and they, you know, don't feel like you know, the administration or, you know, Congress or perhaps other, you know, parts of the Republican system have been working well for them. Now, is that to say they're going to turn around and vote for a Democrat? Not necessarily. But I think that falls to the Republicans in Congress and partially on some Republicans in the administration to be out there messaging what they're doing. If people don't know what you're doing, they're going to think you're doing nothing and vote for somebody else that's communicating that. And I think you've seen that. And even on the Democratic side of the aisle, you've seen these, you know, crazy socialists winning their primaries, but they're winning their primaries because they're the change candidates that are trying to, you know, shake things up. I mean, if you go back to 2016 when Trump was the nominee and first elected president, he was the change candidate, and I think voters still have an appetite for change regardless of who's in power.
That's a good point. I want to play this audio. This is from CNN. They're talking about polling data. A majority of Americans believe that the SAVE Act, Save America Act, should be passed. Cut number 9, please.
Take a look here. Favorite photo ID to vote. 85% of white people favor it. 82% of Latino. 76% of black Americans favor it. So the bottom line is this. Voter ID is not controversial in this country. A photo ID to vote is not controversial in this country. It is not controversial by party, and it is not controversial by race. The vast majority of Americans agree with Nicki Minaj that, in fact, you should have a photo ID to be able to vote.
Yeah, it seems like common sense to me. And again, this is an issue that has support among the Democrats, which is the whole point of CNN's report. And yet the Republicans are not moving an inch on this.
Yeah, look, it's really disappointing. The SAVE Act, the SAVE America Act, to your point, it's common sense. I mean, it's basically as straightforward as it gets when it comes to making sure we have secure elections. And majority of the American people support it as well. So the fact that Congress hasn't moved on it, and look, the House has passed.
I think we may have lost Josh there, Josh Jones. Josh, I think we've got you back. Are you there?
Hey, Todd, can you hear me?
Yeah, coming in loud and clear now.
Awesome. Yeah. I mean, look, it's really disappointing that they're not passing the SAVE Act. And it's also really telling that the majority of the American people support the bill, but not a single Democrat in Congress is willing to vote for it.
Yeah, it's pathetic. All right, Josh, we're going to have to leave it there. Again, folks, tonight, be sure to check out ToddStearns.com. We'll be covering returns as they're coming in from that very important Senate primary race runoff in the great state of South Carolina. All right, Josh, good hearing from you, my friend.
Thanks, Todd.
All right, there you go. And we've got to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Let's go to the phone lines here. 901-260-5926. Pastor John in Kentucky. Hi, Pastor John. What's on your mind today?
Well, first of all, I'm glad to hear you're doing good health-wise. You leave a lot of your fans to worry about you, so you do not have permission to get any sicker. You only have our permission to stay healthy. That's the first thing I want to say, because we love you.
Well, thank you for that. Yes, thank you.
Yep, we love you, Todd. We really do. You know, Todd, it is the Republicans. They can snatch out of the mouth of victory. They can snatch defeat out of the mouth of victory, because right now the Republican Party does not listen to anybody. They only care about what they can achieve. And you've mentioned it. A lot of these Republicans want to see Trump get rid of President Trump. And I believe that is going to be the fatal error. That is going to be the fatal mistake that a lot of these Republicans will make, because they'd rather have our country. Now, Todd, maybe I'm wrong, and I hope I am, but I think they'd rather see our country go to the majority of the Democratic Socialists of America than saving our country, because they hate President Trump that much. And as a family here of veterans, Todd, I know our economy is hurting a little bit, but believe it or not, we get more bang for our buck because of what they've been doing. We've been able to get more food. We've been able to get cheaper prices at the gas pump. And unfortunately, I really believe, and I hope some Republican elected officials, you're a bunch of cowards. Get off your backside and do something about it, and get out there and say what good that your Congress is doing. Don't be such a scaredy cat hiding under your desk, because if you continue to act like cowards, you're going to lose our country, and you're going to be responsible, because I believe the American voter is a lot smarter than they give them credit for. Excuse me, I'm not as eloquent as you are, Todd, but right now our country, our nation is at stake, and you're too busy worrying about the bottom line about as far as staying in office than doing your dang jobs. You need to listen to Todd. Get on the air and take the questions. Todd, too many good Americans have given their lives for this country to give it over to a bunch of Democratic Socialists. And Todd, I am glad you give us a voice. I am glad you're there, because if you weren't there, I don't think these politicians would give the tinkers a poo-poo. I love you, Todd.
Yeah, well, thank you for that, Pastor. Yeah, it's no doubt it is frustrating, but we've got to hold these people accountable. We've got to give President Trump a majority in the Congress. We just have to. Otherwise, they're going to impeach the guy, and I just can't buy into that. All right, this story out of Sky News, Dylan Ian sent this over. Apparently, people are using violent AI clips of fruit and vegetable characters, and that these could help radicalize young people.
Right.
I didn't realize this was even a thing, but apparently, the vegetables are killing each other in very gruesome ways.
Yeah, like, is this the one where they're like AI vegetables and they're eating each other? Like they're eating their own? Is that what that is?
This involves a carrot, and at least the way I'm reading this at Sky News, the carrot is a Muslim. So you've got Islamic vegetables that are waging jihad in the CRISPR.
Oh, Lord.
According to Sky News, the videos are getting around TikTok's rule against violent content because they're using cute or Pixar-like vegetables to soften the image. One example appeared to replicate content from IS videos with a carrot making a potato explode. Another featuring a carrot assassinating a potato with a hammer. Another features a carrot, is it Khalifa, telling his army the carrot state will rise again. Oh, yeah, this is full-blown Islamic.
Why is it all carrots? Carrots are the ones that are the terrorists.
I hate the carrots.
Yeah, it makes sense. I hate carrots, too. I don't know if I consider them terrorist carrots.
They're shifty.
Yeah.
And what's up with the baby carrots?
Why do you eat them mushed sometimes?
Well, great question. But what's up with those baby carrots?
Yeah.
I'm not eating an aborted vegetable.
Yeah.
You want to wait till they're full-grown carrots.
Carrots look too much similar to oranges, so I can't, and I don't want that mistaken while I'm eating my orange.
Well, you know, if you're in the shopping, you know, you're in the produce section, and you got the little baby carrots there, and you're like, okay, that's like a third trimester carrot.
Yeah, not a full-grown carrot yet. But now that we know that they grow up to be terrorists, why would we want to eat them in the first place?
Two posts included hashtags often used by supporters of the terror group these are ISIS, by the way, to disseminate propaganda. Gruesome drug cartel killings are apparently mimicked in other clips. Other videos are said to reference neo-Nazi organizations. Good Lord, man.
I never thought I'd see the day.
I mean, it's bad enough. You got to try to figure out, you know, which peppers are hot and which are not. Like, you know, the green peppers, red peppers, yellow peppers. But now you're going to have, I don't know, Nazi veggies.
Yeah, it takes it to a whole new level.
According to researchers, food violence-based material empowered by AI is easily acceptable. Statements and comments pointing to far-right ideology appeared alongside the content, researchers said, with potato supremacy, said to refer to white supremacy. Wait, but aren't potatoes brown?
On the outside.
Oh, but they're white on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like an Oreo.
Exactly.
But then, again, you've got all different kinds of shades of, you've got the brown and red, yellow, white, blue, and purple. Wait, blue? Blue potatoes?
I haven't seen that one yet.
All right, like little Smurf potatoes.
Yeah. Interesting.
So anyway, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. You got to watch those vegetables. They're shifty. You never know when they might turn on you. I'm just saying. All right, got to take a break here. Hour three of the big show coming up, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Stearns.
Oh, yeah. If I should stay, I would hope. Of the way, and I will always love you. I will always love you. Bittersweet memory. That's all I am taking with me. Goodbye. Please don't cry. We both know that I'm not what you need.
And we have some very disturbing breaking news, very sad breaking news to share with you, ladies and gentlemen, at this hour. The great Dolly Parton has passed away. Dolly had been in bad health over the past several weeks now. Just a few days ago, she had released a statement stating that she was on the road to recovery. But again, the breaking news coming from her family, that Dolly Parton has died at the age of 80 years old. And I'm sure many of you are going to want to weigh in on this and share your beautiful Dolly Parton stories. I want to play this audio from the family of Dolly Parton. Let's take a listen, please.
Hey, everyone. My name is Brian Seaver, son of Cassie Parton, and I am representing the Parton and Owens family today, announcing the passing of my Aunt Dolly Rebecca Parton Dean, sister, sis, Aunt Granny to one generation and Gigi to the next. This video announcement is something Dolly asked of me years ago, before I fully absorbed it as a future reality. As her head of security for more than two decades, a role my father Larry held before me, I have imagined the heaviness of this moment, but haven't truly felt it until now. It is an honor that is mixed with absolute pride and great sadness. But sadness lies with us, not with Dolly. Dolly has lived in the light and is in the arms of Jesus, surely met by Carl, her parents, and countless others who have watched her and longed for her to meet them in the heavens. I first went on the road with Dolly as a kid, getting a taste of the road life in the early 1980s. Dolly opened doors not just for me, but for her entire family to reach the potential we didn't even know was possible. Dolly also opened doors for generations of singers, songwriters, musicians, and dreamers from every walk of life and across every continent. By her example, we believed that anything was possible. She never saw a door she couldn't open, and the doors she opened made and changed history. My family and I have shared a lifetime of beautiful memories with Dolly, but so have you. She has always been on your television, your record player, your CD, and on your phone playlist, becoming an extended part of your family whether you liked it or not. Our family and the team she has entrusted with her legacy will work diligently to ensure her spirit will live with us forever. Dolly was a farmer, just like her daddy. He farmed the soil, she farmed songs and happiness. Dolly called me and said she wants to rest in a beautiful bed of plush cotton because after a life wearing heavy rhinestones, she finally deserves to be comfortable and have some rest. Rest in peace, Aunt Dolly, Aunt Granny, Gigi. May God bless Dolly Parton, and may God bless you all. She will always love you.
Well, again, the breaking news, certainly sad news coming from the great state of Tennessee, where Dolly Parton has died. We have a story up on toddstearns.com as well as a video. I would encourage you to go to our website. We're also going to be taking your calls as we remember the life and the legacy of Dolly Parton. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. Again, that number, again, 901-260-5926. Just a really a shock. You know, she was just a classy lady, and the amount of work that she did for the good people of Tennessee and her community there in the Pigeon Forge area, that is something that that is truly remarkable. So we're going to be taking your calls on this news. The family of Dolly Parton announcing that she passed away at the age of 80 years old. Well, we're also following lots of other news, and I want to go right away to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Michael Levine joins us. He has a book called Broken Windows, Broken Nation, How Little Things Are Bringing Down America and How to Fix It. That book coming out October the 6th. Michael, good to have you with us today on what has turned out to be a pretty sad day for the American people.
Well, it is sad, Todd, and I should tell you, though it's not what you mentioned, I knew Dolly Parton. I represented Dolly Parton's management company. She was an epic figure in not only pop music, but American culture. You know, a lot of people do very well in the music industry. They have hit records, but they fail to cross over to that iconic status. And Dolly is certainly someone who did that. She is an American icon. She will always be an American icon. And as I said, I knew her. And what you saw on TV or in movies is largely who she was. Spunky, optimistic, funny, And so it is a sad day, but an opportunity for us to pay tribute to an epic American presence.
You know, it's interesting, Michael, in this age that we live in where everybody has a political opinion, Dolly Parton was not one of those individuals, and she was really, really hesitant about weighing in on anything of a political nature. You know, her job was to get out there and sing.
That is all correct, Todd. You are accurate. Dolly felt that that was not the province of a celebrity or recording artist. And so she was optimistic. She spoke to all Americans, Republicans and Democrats. And that is quite unusual in today's world, where you seem almost inevitably forced to take a side of some type and render an opinion on something, frankly, you know nothing about.
You know, it's interesting when you look at her life and career. I keep going back to, you know, the relationship she had with her husband, and which was really one of those great love stories of all time. And, of course, Carl Dean, actually, he died a few years ago. Well, he died last year. They were together for, what, nearly 60 years.
That's accurate. And he, of course, was as relentlessly private as she was public. So it is interesting.
And it all worked out, right? It was just an odd thing, and I don't think anybody in America really understood it. But he did his thing, and she did her thing, and they just had a long-lasting love affair.
I think that's accurate.
Mm. Michael Levine joining us, one of the nation's leading media experts, has a new book coming out in October called Broken Windows, Broken Nation. I would encourage you to check out that book. And Michael, we're going to get you back on to talk about the book. You know, when you look at people like Dolly Parton and what she did for Pigeon Forge, which was really, we're talking hills and hollows here. I mean, that was hillbilly country. And she was a masterful business person as well as an entertainer.
That's accurate. She understood that she was not only an American female, but she was a brand. As I said, I represented her management company, so I knew much of the business side of her enterprise. She formed her own company. She was really quite something, quite extraordinary. And that, of course, explains maybe her iconic, American iconic status.
You know, also, when you look at her, at the music, and she was just a phenomenal musician, Dolly Parton and a guitar, it could just bring an entire arena to a standstill. I think we played the beautiful song, I Will Always Love You, and I think a lot of people modern day will remember what Whitney Houston in the Bodyguard movie with Kevin Costner, but that was a Dolly Parton song, and Dolly actually, instead of being jealous or envious, she loved what Whitney Houston did to that song.
Well, not only did she love it, her accountant loved it too, because she made money. So she was a shrewd business person, and quite phenomenal.
You know, Michael, when you look at the landscape out there and the divisions in America, you see somebody like Dolly Parton, and she seemed to be able to bridge all of those, and really, I don't know. It's she really was a rare person in the entertainment industry.
Yeah, you know, Todd, one of the things that comes to mind. I was born in New York City, so I had no relationship with being raised in the South. But I'm told that in the South, there is a great life admonition, a great story about life advice, and it kind of goes like this. And I think Dolly followed this advice. In the South, they say that you would be wise never to get into a pigsty and wrestle with a pig, because only two things happen. You get dirty and the pig has a good time. So I think Dolly followed that advice. She did not get involved in the mud wrestling of the day, and I think it served her well.
Michael, we're going to have to leave it there, and we appreciate you being a good sport here, my friend. And we'll definitely get you back on to talk about the WNBA, but we appreciate you joining us in our breaking news coverage of the passing of Dolly Parton.
Thanks, Todd. You're an outstanding host, and congratulations on all your success.
All right. Michael Levine, everyone, and be sure to follow him, michaellevineconsulting.com. That's michaellevineconsulting.com. We had brought him on to talk about the WNBA and certainly switched gears. All right. We're going to take a break and regroup here. Again, the breaking news, the great Dolly Parton has gone on to glory, passing away at the age of 80 years old. We're going to be taking your calls, your memories. Maybe you have a favorite Dolly Parton story. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Just because you can. Your beauty is beyond compare, with flaming locks of auburn hair, with ivory skin and eyes of emerald green. Your smile is like a breath of spring, your voice is soft like summer rain, and I cannot compete with you, Jolene. Talks about you in his sleep, and there's nothing I can do to keep from crying when he calls your name, Jolene. And I can easily understand how you could easily take my man, but you don't know what he means to me, Jolene. Jolene, 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 I'm begging of you, please don't take my.
You know, it's interesting, Dylan, as we're remembering the late, great Dolly Parton, the queen of country radio and country music. Do you know that she wrote Jolene and I Will Always Love You on the same day?
No, I did not know that.
That's just remarkable.
That's so impressive.
So the story, that there's a great backstory behind Jolene. First of all, she met this one of her fans who was just strikingly beautiful. And her name happened to be Jolene. And Dolly thought that would be a great name to use in a song. Well, there was also a situation where her husband, Carl Dean, who was very faithful to Dolly Parton, there was a bank teller who was kind of flirting with Carl Dean. And they had a good laugh about it. But that's what led Dolly Parton to write the song and take the name Jolene and to write about that bank teller.
Wow. That's really cool.
What a great song. Yeah. We used to play that. That was like the Fox News Radio theme song in the newsroom. And just on occasion, somebody would just play that, and the entire newsroom at Fox would start singing Jolene.
Yeah, my mom would play that every single time as she was getting ready for work. So I heard Dolly Parton a lot growing up.
You know, it's interesting. Dolly Parton also, this is a funny story. She entered a drag queen competition, a Dolly Parton drag queen competition, and she lost.
It was Dolly Parton themed?
It was Dolly Parton themed,
and
yeah.
She lost.
Maybe
there's other people that just looked more like her.
No, it was in a gay bar, and she secretly entered the contest, and she completely lost.
So a guy beat her.
Yeah, apparently so. Well, anyway,
win some, you lose some.
Yeah, that's it. So you've been to Dollywood a time.
I have. Dollywood's amazing. Probably one of the best theme parks you'll ever get to go to if you get to go.
So now they're going to have to make sure. I mean, she was she was all about the little things, which is why I think Dollywood was such a great success. What is it? The cinnamon bread? Is that the
big? Oh, man.
Yeah.
You can't get enough of that stuff.
Rarely do you go to any amusement park and you're boasting about the food and you're bragging about
the
food.
This is true. Very true. And not to mention the rides are great too. And they have a portion where it shows her outfits throughout the years. It's really cool.
Wow. It's just, you know, again, it's just like we're losing some of these great iconic, you know, entertainers. And I just you know, I mean, you think Justin Bieber is going to start an amusement park?
I hope not.
I mean, no Please offense, don't. But I'm not sure you want to ride that ride. I'm just saying. All right, 901-260-5926. I am wondering if any of you folks have been to Dollywood, because it is an amazing place. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. As we remember the late, great Dolly Parton, Mary Walter. Mary Walter Radio coming up next. This is the Todd Stern Show. Do you have the Jesus bumps? Wow, that was just remarkable. Dylan, that was Dolly Parton singing at the CMA Awards. This was on television, live on television, back in 1989. And she was supposed to be singing her hit single at the time, Yellow Roses. Her producer, who happened to be the great Ricky Skaggs, a great bluegrass guy, said, no, this song is going to have an impact. And not everybody was convinced about that. Dolly said, I'm not going to do it unless I can have like a choir or background. So they got a 100 voice choir out of Nashville to back her up. And that song was brought down the house. That was at the Grand Ole Opry, brought down the house, and it became the most memorable song out of the CMAs. And of course, they ended up recording it, and the rest is history. But it was the first time that an entertainer had shared the gospel of Jesus Christ on live TV and put it to song.
That's incredible. What a powerful song.
When you listen to the entire song, it's just really remarkable. I want to bring in to the conversation our good friend Mary Walter, host of Mary Walter Radio. And Mary, we're sort of blowing up the show with the news coming out just a little while ago that Dolly Parton has passed away, reunited with her beloved husband, Carl Dean. And I'm wondering, you're a Jersey girl. Did you have any connection with Dolly Parton?
Okay, so first of all, not bad for getting ready 10 minutes ago, right? When my hair was in a bun and I had a t-shirt on. So I cleaned up for you.
You look good.
thank you. So I was totally shocked when I got the call from Newsmax that, you know, could you be on in 3 minutes? I was like, okay. So that's the first time I heard about it. So and as I said before, I'd grown up in Jersey, you know, our media came from New York. So the number one market in the country doesn't have a country music station. They tried it. It failed. Now that was when country was country. It's before country kind of became the new rock, right? Which is like the last, 10, 15 years or so, country's become the new rock. It's changed a lot. It's not the way country used to be. So I really had no experience, any exposure to country music, except for like Hee Haw that my parents would watch, right? Like that's the only exposure to country music I had. So I didn't really have a lot of exposure to Dolly Parton. However, Dolly Parton crossed over. I think she's one of the first artists to really cross over genre, right? She crossed over, and some of her quote unquote country hits became like rock hits or were played on rock stations or classic rock or maybe adult contemporary stations. So in that sense, she was a first. And that was my first exposure really to Dolly Parton. And maybe when she was singing with Kenny Rogers, right? Kenny Rogers, the guy with the bad plastic surgery. Kenny Rogers, right? That's him.
Oh, yeah.
Remember they had that hit? When was that? That was like, I want to say the first time I really heard Dolly Parton. Whenever that song was. So was that like the 80s or 90s? 80s?
Yeah. Well, maybe? She was, you know, going back to, as a matter of fact, just to play a little bit of this for Mary, Dylan, can we go back? This is back in the 1970s when Dolly Parton made her first appearance on the Johnny Carson's. Remember the Tonight Show? Let's take a listen.
Sit down and take a load off your feet. That's an old country expression, right?
Yeah, that's true.
That's a country expression. Right out of the Midwest. How are you?
I'm fine.
We've never met before, but I've seen you and I've heard you on the radio all the time. How come you haven't been with us in 14 and a half years?
Well, mostly because you didn't ask me.
Oh, come on. No, I think when we did ask you, you were probably out on tour because you travel constantly,
right,
don't you?
We do a lot of road shows, and I want you to know, though, that I am so excited today because today's my birthday, and I couldn't think of
that's somebody happy.
All right, there you go. And Mary, she was just as homespun. That was back in 1977. She turned 31 years old, and she sang for the first time on The Tonight Show and ended up, I mean, it was like a 20-minute interview. So Johnny was really taken by Dolly Parton.
Yeah, and I also remember when I heard her 9 to 5, the song 9 to 5 from the movie.
The
I remember
movie,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So again, I was late to the party again because of where I grew up. But one thing that's amazing about Dolly Parton and the couple of things that always hit me. No one has ever said a bad thing about Dolly Parton, have they? Like nobody on either side of the aisle, because you don't know where she stands politically, right? You can think you know where she stands politically if you go by stereotypes, but you don't really know because Dolly Parton's smart enough to keep her mouth shut. And she preserves a very carefully cultured persona of who she is. Like you said, golly gee, down home, you know, her story of how she grew up, everybody knows. And even though she is so far away from that now, she still kept that because she was smart enough to know that that story made her who she is. So she's not like a lot of these singers, like Bruce Springsteen, you know, Living Under the Boardwalk, The Working Man. He forgot where he came from. Dolly Parton never did. And I think people respect that about her. Now, I'm sure there are some on the left who are probably, you know, mocking her death today because they have become a death cult. But I just don't think you're going to hear really a lot of negative stuff about Dolly Parton because she never said anything bad about anybody.
All right.
Like, do you ever remember Dolly Parton saying a mean thing about anybody?
No. And she was really intentional about that. And I will say this, what she did for the state of Tennessee, and, you know, she grew up in eastern Tennessee, which was an incredibly impoverished area. And now it is one of the we call it Redneck Vegas. Because of all of the tourism that she brought into the area. Of course, Dollywood, one of the great American theme parks of all time. And you got to take the mister down to Dollywood. And Dylan, he swears by the cinnamon bread down there. And it's one of the few places where you actually talk about the food being so good at an amusement park. But that's just who Dolly was. And, you know, Mary, the other thing that I think the lasting legacy, her father could not read or write. And I think that really impacted her, and she launched an initiative called the Imagination Library and literally has provided hundreds of millions of books, free books to young children so they would be able to read. And I just greatly respect that.
Absolutely. And of course, she did it quietly. One thing about Dolly Parton is she rarely shone the spotlight on herself. And which is so refreshing today in the look at me generation, like, oh, this is what I had for dinner. Oh, look at me do this. Oh, look at me humiliate this person. Look, you know, watch me, watch my their kids are growing up for Instagram clicks, everything their kid does. Watch my stupid kid hurt himself. Dolly was not that person. And I go back to her upbringing. My mother used to say to me, manners are free. So it doesn't matter how much money you have. There's no reason for being rude. Manners are free. And she was kind of the epitome of class, grace, and manners, and which I think is sorely lacking because we have a lot of people who laugh at those things. Oh, why? Why do I have to hold the door open for someone? It's not that you have to, but it's you treat others the way you want to be treated. It's called class. And Dolly was a very, very classy woman. And considering where she came from, you wouldn't think of her that coming from her. But I don't know. I just love the persona that she put out into the world. And it seems as if she lived that, because if she didn't live that in today's society, we would have heard about it. And yeah, you never heard anything about Dolly Parton.
Well, you're right. And so, Mary, I know you've got a jam-packed afternoon schedule, and we appreciate you taking a few minutes to talk about the life and legacy of Dolly Parton. Mary Walter Radio. Yeah, go ahead, Mary.
I was just going to say, just FYI, the hit that I was supposed to go to right now, they did before this one, and I had to get out of that one in order to come here. So. But if you have something else planned, I can go. Bye.
Well, no. Look, it's again, we just appreciate you so much. Let's talk about your podcast, because you've been having some great guests on. Who do you have coming on this week?
You know, I have a fan favorite, one of my most popular guests ever. This person is basically a male version of Dolly Parton without the figure. He is amazing. He's a prolific author, and he has a brand new book out. He's also an incredible radio host, television host. He does it all. He is a media empire king. So fascinating and incredibly adorable and funny. I don't know if you've heard of him. His name is Todd Starnes. I don't know if you've heard
Holy
of
crap. I'm sitting here going, who is she talking about?
Although now you have people, so I have to book you through your people.
Geez,
I can't just text you anymore.
No. Look, we have had so many interviewers. It's been insane. And I'm like, we have got to book Mary Walter, and that's going to have to happen. So I'm excited about it. This is going to be a lot of fun.
It is. So we'll talk about this a little bit, but it's really going to be about Todd and Todd's book, because this ties into your book ties into not only Dolly Parton, but also to an event that happened last week when we were away on vacation. So I think there's a lot of things that tie into this. So I'm super excited about the conversation. You can join us live 7:15 p.m. Eastern time tonight. Just look for Mary Walter Radio on Rumble, on YouTube, and on Getter. And you can ask questions of Todd. You can leave questions and comments. And I try to incorporate them throughout the show. So it's a lot of fun, and it's super interactive. And Todd's the best guest ever. So thank you, Todd.
It's going to be a lot of fun. All right, folks. Again, that is tonight, Mary Walter Radio. Mary, good seeing you.
Thanks, hon. Good seeing you. Thanks for having me.
All right. 901-260-5926. Let's go to the phone lines. Hendersonville, North Carolina. Nancy listening to us on WHKP. Hi, Nancy. I understand you have a Dolly Parton story.
I do. Thank you. This is what sums up Dolly Parton to me. I worked on The Donahue Show at WGN Television in Chicago in the 1970s. I worked on his show for 7 years in the studio as an assistant director, where many, many celebrities came through. And what I want to tell you is there was a day when I had to bring something to his office that was all the way across the building. And I walked into his office, to Phil Donahue's office, and I was amazed. I'd never been in there before. There was one picture on the wall of all the celebrities in 7 years, one picture. And you know who it was. It was Dolly Parton. And I asked him, I said, Phil, out of all the stuff, why do you have just one picture on the wall? And he said something to me along the lines that he needed to remind himself of her beautiful humility and beautiful personality as he did his show. Somebody should check with Marlo Thomas. I'd like to hear more about, you know, how he spoke of her during those days. But that sums it up to me.
Well, it's just a wonderful life and legacy that she has. And we'll see who's going to pick up the mantle after Dolly Parton. But that's going to be a tough one. Nancy, thank you for sharing that great story. Let's go to Andrew, Gainesville, Georgia. Andrew, what's your Dolly Parton story?
So, yes, absolutely, Todd, from Gainesville, Georgia, and the Southeast, and all over the United States and the entire world. Many families have been affected by the love that Dolly showed from her heart, genuinely.
Yeah, I certainly think so. I think that's the case, Andrew. And, you know, she's a Southerner, one of us. You know, she's one of our people. And I think that makes it maybe even that much more personal for a lot of us, especially those who grew up in mountain communities.
Yes, sir, absolutely. But where she came from, absolutely, it was all about helping one another and the love of Jesus in your heart, and take the time to know your neighbor and help your neighbor and never ask for anything.
Yeah, I think we lost Andrew there, but I think we got the gist of it. Andrew, thank you for calling in. All right, we're going to take a quick break here, folks. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Well, heaven has gained a precious angel. Dolly Parton finally home with her beloved Carl Dean, and Tennessee has lost a legend. The great Dolly Parton passing away at the age of 80. And I can't think of a better way to wrap up today's show by listening to Dolly Parton singing the song that really moved the nation when she shared the gospel during the CMA Awards at the Grand Ole Opry back in the 1980s. Dolly Parton singing "He's Alive." And today, Dolly Parton woke up in heaven. She's alive as well. All right, folks, we're going to wrap it up. This again, Dolly Parton will be back tomorrow here on the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
John stood there beside me as she told me where she'd been. She said they moved him in the night, and none of us knows where. The stone's been rolled away, and now his body isn't there. But the winding sheet they wrapped him in was just an empty shell. And how or where they'd taken him was more than I could tell. Oh, something strange had happened there, just what I did not know. John believed a miracle, but I just turned to go. Circumstance and speculation couldn't lift me very high, 'cause I'd seen them crucify him, then I saw him die. Back inside the house again, the guilt and anguish came. Everything I'd promised him just added to my shame. When at last it came to choices, I denied I knew his name. And even if wouldn't be the same. But suddenly the air was filled with a strange and sweet perfume. Light that came from everywhere drove shadows from the room. And Jesus stood before me with his arms held open wide. And I fell down on my knees and I just clung to him and cried. Then he raised me to my feet, and as I looked into his eyes, the love was shining out from him like sunlight from the skies. Guilt in my confusion disappeared.
This is Troy Millings from Earn Your Leisure. On Earn Your Leisure, we're all about smart money moves, and here's one most people skip:
Car insurance renews on autopilot, the rates creep up, and nobody tells you. That's what Insurify fixes. In about 2 minutes, completely free, you can see rates from more than 120 top insurance companies. And if there's nothing better today, they keep watching and notify you when there's a better rate. So go to Insurify.com. That's Insurify.com. Insurify.com.